Proverbs 3:13. Happiness belongs to the believer who finds wisdom and the person who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Happiness belongs to the believer who finds wisdom and the person who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 16:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. We're here today again to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon these magnificent, wonderful words of God. We have in our hand today again that magnificent book called the Bible, the completed canon of Scripture. We're blessed indeed to be the recipients of the Word of God. From 96 A.D., until this present moment, we have the completed canon of Scripture. And we're thankful to God that we have this wonderful book. This is an amazing book, marvelous book, challenging book. Wow. The more we study, the more we realize we don't know. And the more we study, the more we realize how great God is and what a wonderful plan He has for our lives. In this second session today, we're going to deal with another word in this verse, Ephesians 1:7, a word that probably we don't think about all that much. It's the word forgiveness. And so we're going to be sharing some things that may be a little bit startling to us. And some of the things you're going to hear, you're going to, first of all, at beginning, say, you know, I'm not so sure that I see it that way. So one of the things that I've tried to do over the years is to simply say that if you hear something with which you do not agree, or you hear something that you're not sure about, don't just immediately tune out and move through the rest of the service without paying any attention to what is being said. Because that's what I found out, that a lot of people have done that, and they've not stayed long enough to hear the subject completely explained. And they tune out and they miss so much. So I suggest that if you hear something with which you do not agree, or you hear something that you're not sure about, or if you hear something that you say to your in your own thinking, I'm not even sure the preacher believes that. You see, it's possible you can have all these different things. So if you hear something, just take it and put it up in a shelf, so to speak, so that you don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. And I've had this happen to me over the years. I've preached something and people have had difficulty with it, but they put it in the shelf. And then 6 months or a year later, they'll come and say, wow, I never have seen that. And what has happened is that what they had put up there on the shelf, now they're beginning to see a lot more things related to it, and they're able to see what was meant by that particular statement. I usually don't take this much time to explain things like this, but I'm encouraging you, especially as we come to this subject now on forgiveness. It's unusual, so we'll find some unusual verses that we'll wonder about. And so I just wanted you to know that at the beginning. Okay, let's bow for a moment of prayer first. Father, we're thankful that we are privileged today to be here. This is a magnificent time for us again today to study. These are beautiful verses of Scripture that we study. And we realize that there's so much for us to learn. help us to appreciate the fact that we are your children and saved by your grace, that we have opportunity to advance in grace. We realize that you've left us here to continue our spiritual advance. So we pray that we will be individuals with open minds and open hearts to your wonderful word. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. The subject for this session is, what is forgiveness? Please look again, if you will, at our verse, Ephesians 1, 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. On Wednesday night, we'll be dealing with the last part of the verse, the last two words, his grace. But right now, we're looking at the word forgiveness. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. A magnificent, marvelous, wonderful passage of Scripture. Now, all of you are aware of the fact that I love Greek words. Do I need to tell you that? I love Greek words. And on the screen, I'm going to put today two words. One of the words is the one that you have here in the translation, forgiveness. And it is the word, let me have you to look at it. Are you looking at the back of your bulletin? I think this verse is in the bulletin. You'll see that come to the word forgiveness and then look just below it. Let me take my bulletin and take a look to see what you have there. Yes, on the back of your bulletin you have Ephesians 1, 7, which says, in whom we have redemption. And that last word on that first line is where we studied this morning in the first session. And then you'll have the second line down there where it says, through his blood. What you have there is a preposition, dia, D-I-A. It's a little word in the Greek, D-I-A, through his blood. In other words, an emphasis upon what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then you have the forgiveness. Do you see that word? You see it on the back of your bulletin. Let me just show you what that word is, and you'll be able to see it. Here it is. It is A-P-H-I-E-M-I. It's pronounced Aphiemi. Aphiemi. I'm not teaching Greek, but I want you to see how beautiful this word is. Aphiemi. And we're going to talk about that for a few moments, but I want you to take a look at that word. The Greek word pronounced Aphiemi. The Strong's Concordance says that this means your sins have been forgiven, Aphiemi. You are for his name's sake in 1 John 2:12. There are two Greek words that describe forgiveness. And I've already mentioned the first one, Aphiemi. But the second one that you see is first place on our page here is C-H-A-R-I-Z-O-M-A-I, charizomai. The word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, is the word for grace. So if I were you, I would write down C-H-A-R-I-S and put out by the side of it grace. So two Greek words are used to translate forgiveness. The first one is one you see first on the screen, charizomai, from the Greek word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, which means grace. The word appears 27 times in the New Testament. And here's what you need to be able to see. That word means to bestow a favor unconditionally. To bestow a favor unconditionally. It means to show one's self-graciousness. To show one's being self-gracious. It is the word which means to be kind. It is the word which means to be benevolent. Or it is the word which means to grant forgiveness. Another word that describes that is to pardon. So I'm trying to give you some words for you to be able to see what we have here in the Greek word charizomai. C-H-A-R-I-Z-O-M-A-I. I promise you that the more you listen to the teaching of the word and the more you're able to see these Greek letters, one of these days you're going to just be looking at them and reading them without even knowing that you've been taught. You see what I'm saying? So you have C-H-A-R-I. The first part of the word comes from the word grace. Charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. So it means to be gracious. It means to show one's self-graciousness. It means to be kind. It means to bestow a favor unconditionally. To show one's self-graciousness. To be willing to pardon or forgive or present a benevolent attitude. So believers are to be forgiven, and believers are to forgive each other the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us. And that's found in Ephesians 4:12, where the Bible says that Christ forgives us. And Colossians 2:13 and Colossians 3:13, these are scriptures where that word, charizomai, is used over and over again. And so the word indicates being gracious toward someone else. To be kind, to be benevolent, to be gracious, to be forgiven, to be willing to forgive. By contrast, however, our word aphiemi, which I have put on the screen, means to send away, to send away. It is used approximately 150 times in the New Testament, and it's found almost exclusively in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I just wanted you to see that that word, aphiemi, is an interesting word, which means to yield. Interesting enough, now you're going to hear this, that when you go to 1 Corinthians 7, which is the entire chapter that has to do with sex and with family and with marriage and with home and with relationships, you'll find that word, aphiemi, used in relationship to the husband who is willing or not willing to divorce his wife. And so the word is used there. It's the word aphiemi. That is in 1 Corinthians 7:11. In Matthew 4:11, it says the devil left him. And we're all familiar with the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew 13:30, that word aphiemi is translated allow. So you'll have it translated divorce in one case in Corinthians. You'll have it left. The devil left him, and that's the word aphiemi. Or in Matthew 13:30, it says allow both to grow together. Matthew 27:50, it says Jesus yielded up his spirit. So it means aphiemi, to let go, to send away. In Mark 7:8, the word is translated in the King James neglecting the commandment of God, sending away the commandment of God. In Mark 15:37, it says Jesus uttered a loud voice, a loud cry. In Romans 1:27, the word is abandon. So it's interesting to see. I love word studies because it's interesting to see how God allows these Greek words to be used in different ways to mean different things. And so I just want you to be able to see that there are two words that we're emphasizing today, charizomai and aphiemi. It is not important for you to remember all of this as far as the specific Greek words, but I do want you to remember what we're trying to emphasize. Back to Ephesians 1:7, you'll notice, in whom we have redemption. We've analyzed that word today. Through his blood, we're not emphasizing the specific emphasis on the blood of Christ at this point, but we're emphasizing the word aphiemi in the word forgiveness. The question that I have for you is, what is forgiveness? And I think that the only way we can find an answer to that is to find what the Bible says. Forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender. Now, you probably need to write that definition. Forgiveness is the act of pardoning an offender. In the Bible, the Greek word translated forgiveness literally means to let go. To let go. As when a person does not demand payment for a debt, Jesus used this comparison when he taught his followers to pray, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is sinning against us in a debt to us. Now that's Luke chapter 11, verse 4. I'm going to be giving you some verses now, some unusual verses in relationship to the subject that you're going to, when you hear these verses, you're going to just throw them around in your thinking and say, what in the world does all that mean? You see what I'm saying? So, likewise, in the parable of Jesus, of the unmerciful slave, Jesus equated forgiveness with canceling a debt, sending it away. That person owes me, whatever the situation is over now, I'm sending it away. I'm getting rid of it. I'm not allowing this to bother me continually. Notice, we forgive others when we let go of resentment and give up any claim to be compensated for the hurt or loss we've suffered. We're getting to the nitty-gritty of what forgiveness is all about. We forgive others when we let go of resentment and give up any claim to be compensated for the hurt or the loss we've suffered. The Bible teaches that unselfish love is the basis for true forgiveness. I have to be careful here, and I want to say these things over slowly. The Bible teaches that unselfish love is the basis for true forgiveness, since the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, love does not keep account of the injury. A lot of people have been hurt, and they are not willing to allow that hurt to be passed away, to move aside. What forgiveness does not mean? What forgiveness does not mean? And this is what I find very interesting in the Word of God. For instance, forgiveness, number one, is not condoning the offense. The Bible actually condemns those who claim that bad actions are harmless or acceptable. Now, let's look at this. We're going to look at a verse of Scripture that gets right to the heart of this. What forgiveness does not mean? Forgiveness does not mean condoning the offense. The Bible actually condemns those who claim that bad actions are harmless or acceptable. Now, what I've found is this verse of Scripture, and I want you to see it. If you will, please turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. I read this over, and I've been back in my office, and I looked at it again a few moments ago. It's interesting. Isaiah 5:20. I hope you have your Bible and you have it open to it. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Now think about it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. In other words, what the Word of God is saying here to us is that we're not to condone that which is bad. We're not to condone the offense. In the Greek language, we have words that are beautiful in relationship to what is good and what is not good. Most of us have learned that the word agathos means good. It is the word which means intrinsic good, God's good. There's another word in the Greek, kalos, which means good, but it's a different type. And then there is the word kaikos, which is the word which means bad. And then there are words that describe all of those things related to that which is not good, that which is bad, that which is sinful, that which is dung, that which is the chamber pot being poured out. Most of us are familiar with all of these words that we've studied. So this passage of scripture in Isaiah, if you'll notice, it says, "Woe to those who called evil good." My, that's powerful. "And those who called good evil." In other words, what that is saying is, the scripture says forgiveness is not condoning the offense. Number two, forgiveness is not pretending that the offense never happened. Pretending that the offense never happened. God forgave King David of serious sins, but he did not shield David from the consequences of his actions. I'm giving you time to let this soak in. Forgiveness is not pretending that the offense never happened. God forgave King David of serious sins, but he did not shield David from the consequences of his actions. In fact, God even had David's sins recorded so that they are remembered for us today. Let me ask you something. How would you like for all the... You've already concluded now what I was about to say. How would you like for all of your sins and your disobediences and all of the mistakes you've made to be put in a book and given to the preacher for me to call you by name before the congregation and read through the pages of that book? Well, I wouldn't want you to want mine either. I want you to see what is being said here. If you'll notice, pretending that the offense never happened. What do we know about David? God forgave King David of serious sins, but he did not shield David from the consequences of his actions. God even had David's sins recorded so that they are remembered for us today. 2 Samuel 12, if you want to find it. Another thing that forgiveness is not, it's not allowing others to take advantage of you. Forgiveness is not allowing others to take advantage of you. Suppose, example, that you loan money to someone, but that person wastes it and then cannot repay you, as the person promised. Oh, he's sorry and even apologizes. Now, you could choose to forgive him by not harboring resentment, not rehashing the matter with him continually, and perhaps even canceling the debt altogether. However, you might also choose not to loan that person any more money. And all of this is described for us in Psalm 37:21. You ought to write that one down. Proverbs 14:15, Proverbs 22:3, and Galatians 6:7. So you have to understand what forgiveness really is not. Now, we're going to look in a few moments what forgiveness is, but what forgiveness is not. Number four, forgiveness is not pardoning with no valid basis. God does not forgive people. This, to me, throws me for a loop because I found this passage of Scripture. God does not forgive people who are guilty of willful, malicious sin and who refuse to acknowledge their mistake, change their ways, and apologize to those whom they've hurt. Now that, to me, is something else. I guess I'm such a, I don't know what you'd call it, that I would just think that God would overlook anything. You know what I mean? And this dawned on me. And I'm going to go back and let you see what I'm saying here. Pardoning with no valid basis. That's not the right way to go. Pardoning with no valid basis. God does not forgive people who are guilty of willful, malicious sin and who refuse to acknowledge their mistakes, change their ways, and apologize to those whom they've hurt. Now, these are the scriptures I want you to see. First of all, I found this in Proverbs 28:13. Now, I'm going to let you do me a favor. Let's go to Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. I'm giving you time to find it. Proverbs chapter 28. I hope you have a Bible and that you're looking. Proverbs chapter 28. All right. I found chapter 28, and I'm going now to the verse. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. Are you with me? Are you looking at that? Wow. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. I don't think I'm doing the scripture any harm by telling you that this passage of scripture in Proverbs 28:13 and Acts 26:20 and Hebrews 10:26, pardoning with no valid basis, God does not forgive people who are guilty of willful, malicious sin and who refuse to acknowledge their mistakes, change their ways, and apologize to those whom they've hurt. Such unrepentant ones become God's enemies, and He does not require us to forgive those whom He has not forgiven. Now that, to me, is an unusual concept. Now you can do what you want to with it, but it's something for you to be able to see from the wonderful Word of God, along with Psalm 139:21, Psalm 139:22. What if you're the victim of cruel mistreatment by someone who refuses to apologize or even admit to what the person has done? The Bible says, let go of anger and abandon rage. In Psalm 37:8. Notice, if you will, please, while not excusing the error, you can refuse to be consumed with the anger. Powerful indeed. You are not excusing the error, but you can refuse to be consumed with anger. Trust that God will bring the person to account. Hebrews 10:30-31. You can also take comfort in knowing that God knows all the facts, and God will bring a time when we no longer feel the deep pain or hurt that may burden us at the present time. It's a terrible thing to go through life with unforgiveness and anger and meanness of heart in relationship to anyone. Forgiving every perceived slight, sometimes rather than pardoning a so-called offender, we may need to admit that we had no valid cause for being offended in the first place. The Bible says, and listen to this, do not be quick to take offense, for the taking of offense is the mark of a fool. Holy moly. Folks, the Bible is something else. We are confronted with the Word of God in many different ways, and there are things about which we cannot comprehend or understand or even fully want to agree with. But I tell you what, this says, do not be quick to take off the offense, for the taking of offense is the mark of a fool. Ecclesiastes 7:9. I must hasten, because I want to turn the page. How to forgive someone. Remember, number one, that remember what forgiveness involves. You're not condoning the wrong or acting as if it never happened. You're simply practicing this Greek word, aphiemi, let it go, let it go, let it go. So remember what forgiveness involves. Let it go. Number two, recognize the benefits of forgiving. Oh my. Whatever the situation is, when you have forgiven, not only is that situation you let it go, but you have had success in your own heart and soul. Recognize the benefits of forgiving. Let go of anger. Let go of resentment. It can keep you calm, improve your health, and increase your happiness. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Does this make sense, folks? Even more important, forgiving others is a key to recognizing God's forgiveness for our own sins. Can you imagine what it's like for God to forgive us of our sins? Number three, we've got to hasten. Be empathetic. If you didn't know it, I want to tell you now, you are not perfect. You're not without mistakes. You're not without sin. We're all fit in the same category. Be empathetic. All of us are imperfect. Just as we appreciate being forgiven, we should likewise forgive the mistakes of others. Matthew 7:12 tells us to forgive the mistakes of others. Number four, be reasonable. When we have a minor cause for complaint, we can apply Bible scriptures, Bible's counsel, specifically found in Colossians 3:13. And I like this one. Continue putting up with one another. I tell you what, that is something. That is good for us. You ought to memorize that one. Colossians 3:13. Continue putting up with one another. And then the last point, forgiveness. Act quickly. Immediately, don't allow anger and jealousy and unforgiveness continue. Work to forgive as soon as you can, rather than allowing the anger to fester. In other words, if we allow it to go on and we're unforgiving, we're not willing to forgive, what is going to happen is it's going to diminish our spiritual advance because the fester of anger will continue to be there, bugging us, bothering us. And when we even get around that person, we can look at them with disdain. This is where we live, folks. This is right where we live. Many, many things more could be said about forgiveness. But that's it. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you today for the fact that we are forgiven. How magnificent this is for us to know that your grace is so sufficient and that you've willing and continually willing to forgive us when we admit our faults and failures and sins. You've told us in your word that if we confess our sins, that you'd be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we're thankful for forgiveness. We're thankful that we are able to see what the Bible teaches about our attitude toward other individuals. And in life, we all have problems and difficulties, and we'll face various experiences that will be a burden to us and a bother to us. But help us to have this cleansed away, moved aside, let it go, so that we can grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And at the last moments of this service today, for the individuals who've never accepted God's forgiveness and salvation, they can do that right now. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We thank you for the magnificent gift of salvation, that anyone can accept that magnificent gift and know without shadow of doubt that salvation is theirs. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.